Well, today we're going to start a new series entitled God With Us. And today's message is God With Us in the Valley. We're going to talk over these next number of weeks the different places that God is with us. Our key verse is Matthew chapter 1 and verse 23, and it says this: Behold, the virgin shall be with child, bear a son, they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. The theological term for this is the incarnation. When God actually took on flesh and came down and was part of his creation to reveal himself to us and also to redeem us and to save us from our sins. So God is with us. God is with us. That has implications. Are you glad God's with us? Do you know God is with you? He's with us because of this time that we're celebrating. Christmas is a fantastic time that God is with us. Well, sometimes it's easier to believe that God's with us than others. When everything's going well, when everything just going the way we thought, it's sort of easy to believe that God is with us. When things are difficult, when we are actually asking the question, where's God? Where's God in all of this? Then it's much harder to believe that God is with us. The statement I put in your notes is this: we can enjoy God on the mountain, but we get to know him in the valley. Mountaintop experiences are the high points in life, the good times, when you sort of come out in the open, you can feel the sunshine on your face, you can look out and see the vista of all that is around you, and you have a sense of, I know what's happening, I know where I am, and I can see everything clearly. Those are mountaintop experiences. The valley experiences are the low points in life. It is the dips in the road. Now, as soon as I say dips in the road, I remember back when I was a teenager with some of our friends, we were driving out in the country, and we were going down this country road, and we were going up over hills and down, and this particular night that we were driving, just because of the mist and how it had laid in over the landscape, that you could actually, as you came over the crest, see the low part, but it was all covered with a mist and a fog. And I actually remember driving down into it and then going into this fog and thinking, whoa, but we immediately came out the other side. But I still think of that in my mind, of going through the dips of the road. Now, we're on a journey. We're going through life. There's high points in life. There's low points in life. And it's just part of life. You're not going to have all high points. You're not going to have all low points. But you're going to go through the hilltops and the valley experiences. Now, we enjoy God on the mountain. When we're coming out, you know, we do thank the Lord. But you know, it's so easy to forget God when things are going well. You sort of, it's sort of half-hearted, well, thank the Lord for this, and then you go on and enjoy it, but you're not really experiencing God. It's in the valley that you really begin to experience the Lord, and he makes himself real to you because you're crying out to him and you're not certain what's happening. It's in the valley that it's obscured. It's foggy. You're going through disappointments. You're going through times when there's uncertainty. We all have them. Don't be surprised that it happens. We have them. Now, it's interesting. Paul, writing the Romans in the first five verses of Romans chapter 5, he sort of speaks to both experiences. Here's the first two verses of Romans 5. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Aren't you glad when you're in those two verses? When you're just experiencing the goodness of God, you're experiencing your salvation, he's with you, and it just sort of wells up when you say, I rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And wouldn't you like that chapter to stop right there? But then there's verses 3, 4, and 5. And here's what those verses say. And not only that. Not only the good times. Not only the times when you're rejoicing. But not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope, and hope does not disappoint, because the love of God is poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given to us. So even in this process, it says it's not only going to be good times. There's going to be trials that's going to actually try your patience. And you just have to persevere through this. And as you're persevering, now you're experiencing God in a way you would never experience Him any other way. It's producing character within you. The character of Christ. And that character is coming out of a hope you have in God. And that hope is causing the love of God to be poured out in your heart. The ultimate expression of God in our life is His love. So it's amazing how in these verses He takes the high mountaintop experience and He takes the low experiences of life and He says, but it's all to the glory of God. I hope that those five verses get into your mind. Not only that you could maybe quote them, but they get into the fabric of your thinking and how you judge situations you're going through. Just know there's ups and downs to life. Now, the essence of our message this morning is going to be based on Psalm 84. And here's the point in your notes. The psalmist tells us how to manage the valley experience. You are going to have that experience, but how do you manage it? Because you can get tripped up in the valley. You can get off course in the valley. You can miss out in the valley. But how do you manage the valley experiences of life? Now, right in the middle of this psalm, David, who wrote this psalm, tells us, and the verses are verses 5 to 7. Now, let me read them to you. Then we'll go back and we'll look at the different aspects of this and what we can learn from it. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage as they pass through the valley of Baca. They make it a spring. The rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God. Now, in this portion of Scripture, David says, we're on a journey. We're on a pilgrimage. We're going to Zion. We're going to appear before the Lord in Jerusalem. If you read it in context, that's what he's talking about. And he says, you're going to pass through the Valley of Baca. As I looked this up, the Valley of Baca was actually a literal place. A valley outside of Jerusalem that people had to pass through to get to the other side. Now, the meaning of the word Baca is weeping. Weeping. It's also referred to as the Valley of Tears, the Valley of Loss. So I looked this up. It says, a perilous pass through which pilgrims journeyed towards Jerusalem. And on account of the difficulties, dangers, and sufferings that they met with, it was called the Valley of Baca, Valley of Weeping. You know, in our pilgrimage to God, the place of our destination, it's going to lead you through the Valley of Baca. It's not a pleasant place. It's in the natural, a dangerous place. It's a perilous place. It's a threatening place. It's a place where you feel you are at jeopardy or in jeopardy. But the pilgrimage takes us through this valley. So in these verses, David tells us, how do we manage this time through the Valley of Baca? And here's the first point in your notes. In the valley, you can do more than you think. In the valley, you can do more than you think. Here's the first part of that verse. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you. Where is our strength? Not in ourselves, but it's in the Lord. Now, here's what happens when you get into this valley. You begin to immediately assess the situation. And you begin to evaluate, can I handle this? Those are the questions that come to mind. How will I handle this? How will I get through this? And you begin to just, if you're just looking at yourself, you're going to miss something. Because in this valley, blessed or happy or encouraged or benefited is the person whose strength is in the Lord. That you're realizing it's not just me. I'm not in this alone. This is not just something that I'm trying to manage and cope with. You are more than you think you are. The devil wants to just point your attention to yourself and to your weaknesses and your failures and the potential loss. He loves to get you into that mindset in the valley where you've got to realize, you know what? I can do more than I think I can do. Because it's not me. I can do all things, Paul said, through Christ who strengthens me. How many things he said, I can do all things? Now, this is a man that's equipped to go through some valleys. And Paul did go through some valleys. And he talked about all the hard times in one of the portions of Scripture that he had to endure. But he said, I can do all things through Christ. He didn't get down because his strength was in the Lord. And the very first thing we have to get in our minds is that it doesn't depend on you. You're not alone in this. It's not your efforts against whatever's there. There is a power that's working within you when you're in the valley. And you can get through this. You can do more than you think you can do. You really can. I've looked at people sometimes and the difficulties they're going through, loss or one thing piled on another, and I've thought to myself, how do they do that? I could never handle that. I couldn't go through that. But here's the thing. If that's the path God has led you to, he gives you grace to go through it. And you are probably right. You couldn't go through it just with your own strength and power. But that person that's going through it has access to something that you don't have access to. They have the power of God in them. Their strength is coming from beyond. In fact, I said this to one time to an individual going through, and that's where this thought came to. The person said to me, I can't go through it all, but I don't know. God just gives me a grace to handle this. And suddenly I realized what this verse is saying. The strength is not in your own ability. Your strength is in the Lord. So here's the point I put in your notes. When he leads you, when God leads you, he will enable you. If he's leading you, and we should be led of the Lord, we should be walking with the Lord. When he is leading us, he will enable you. If you didn't have to go through that, you may not have the power. But because that was the course, and this is it, we don't set the course for our life. The Lord sets the course. But know he's with you. And every day when you get up in the morning, no matter what you're facing or what you have to handle, and it could be worse or better than someone else, we all have varying circumstances. Just know the Lord is with you. And if he's with you, he will enable you to handle that day. He will give you grace for that day. Don't project into the future. Don't think, well, for a month this. No, just handle it. The Bible says day by day. Just day by day, put your trust in the Lord, saying, Lord, I can handle this today. Now, most of us can handle anything for a day. It's only when we project into the future that we say, hey, I can't do this. But if you just say, for this day, God has given me grace, and I'm going to handle this in his might. We can do it. Now, there's a verse here in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Now, this verse is talking about temptation. It's saying that there's no temptation taken you, but that you can overcome it. He's not going to give you something more than you're able to bear it. It's just not going to happen. And God's going to provide a way for you to get through this. Now, that's true with temptation, and it's also true of the temptation in the valley. Because Satan's temptation to you in the valley is this is going to destroy you. Something has gone amiss. Something is wrong here. There's either something wrong with you, there's something wrong with someone else. And you get into this sense of this is overwhelming. Do you ever feel overwhelmed? That's when you got to look back and say, no, the strength is in God. It's not in me. I may be overwhelmed, but God is never overwhelmed. And so you realize, if I am going through this, God has given me ability to go through it. Remember, we talked a few weeks ago about the lie of temptation. Behind every temptation is a lie. And you need to expose that lie by Satan saying, you're alone, you won't make it, you'll never get through this. And you need to just cast that off, expose it, and say, that's not true. There's nothing that's come my way today that God is not with me, and he's provided a way for me to go through this. And so I will never be overwhelmed, because it's not in my strength, it's in the strength of the Lord. Now, this is the first truth we have to lay hold of if you're going to manage getting through the valley. That this valley is not going to overwhelm you. It's not too strong for you. The power of the Lord is with you. And if you put your trust in him, you're going to get through this. Now, that's a powerful, powerful truth. Brings us to the next truth that David brings out. And the verse is this: whose heart is set on pilgrimage as they pass through the valley of Baca. Now, here's the point. The valley is only for a time. The valley is only for a time. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. We used to sing that when I was a boy in the church I grew up in. We're just passing through. This valley is not forever. You're going to go into it, but you're going to come up the other side. We're on a pilgrimage. We are pilgrims. We're on a journey. God has a destination for us. We don't know the path we're to take, and we're not always certain of the purpose of the destination, but if we're walking with God and we're trusting him and believing in him, you know, I'm going through this valley, but I'm just passing through this valley of Baca. You're just passing through. Now, this is a tremendous truth to lay hold of. And you need to set, as it says here, whose heart is set on a pilgrimage. Because Satan will try to get your mind and your thoughts different. And he begins to whisper into your mind, this will never end. This will always be. How will you live with this? How can you manage this? And he gets you to bail on marriages and bail on relationships and many times bail on jobs. And you're filled with the despair and the discouragement of the valley, which you're not to have despair and discouragement. But he tries to get you to look at the timing and you just say, I can't do this anymore. You ever say that to yourself? That's all I can take. I'm not going to put up with this anymore. Well, you just have had Satan whisper into your mind that this situation is not sustainable and that you've got to bail on this situation. But just know it's only there for a time. You know, it reminds me of the story about the king who wanted to have a statement he could use at any time. He never wanted to be caught without words. He said, I want to have something that I could say at any point at any time would be appropriate, no matter what the situation. So he called all his wise men in and he said, would you help me to come up with this statement that I can use at any time? And so they went away, and as the story goes, they finally came back to him and they said, King, we have a statement for you. It's true at any time. It's only four words, and you can say this and it will always be true. And the four words are, this too shall pass. This too shall pass. Now, in this life, this side of eternity, that's true. When you move into eternity with the Lord, it's not true because God's eternal. But in this situation, in this life that we live, because we're on a journey, because there's different things that happen, you can say that in any valley, and this too shall pass. Now, here's the thing where Satan will say, he'll say, yes, but death is involved here. And if you die, it's all over. Now, the beautiful thing being a Christian, we know that death is not an end. We know death is a transition into the presence of the Lord. And there are many things you're praying for, and you may not see it, but God is working it out. I remember as a boy, we lived in a double house. My grandparents lived on one side. We lived on the other side. And I remember many times as a boy being in and hearing my grandfather pray. And I remember him praying for his two daughters. And at that time, they were not following the Lord to the degree that he felt and wanted. And he would cry out for his daughters to come to the Lord. And he passed away, and he didn't see it. But I did. I saw both of my aunts come back to the Lord, and I always say they came back with a vengeance. They came back on fire for God. They came back praying and searching. Now, they went through some valley experiences to get there, but they came back and served God. And they were such a blessing in my life, both of my aunts. My grandfather never saw it, but it passed. And there was victory that came out of that. I think of the Apostle Paul. Here he was called. He went from city to city, starting churches, preaching, establishing. And then what happened? He was arrested. And he's thrown into prison. And he would pray and ask requests and say, oh, pray that I could, a door of opportunity would open that I could share the gospel. Because he felt like he's boxed in. I want to get out. I want to go and I want to speak to churches. I want to start churches. I wanted my life to make a difference. And for years and years, he was in prison. All he could do is write letters to churches. And probably at the end of his life, if you could interview him, he would have said, oh, man, my time in jail, I wish God had just released me. I could have done so much more for the Lord. He had no idea that 2,000 years hence, we have a book of his letters. And how many hundreds and thousands and millions of people have his letters blessed people? Or he could have said, it's all a waste. This valley of being in prison. Oh, despair. But no, God used it. In fact, if right now he's probably saying, I wish I had spent more time in jail. Wish I'd written more letters. You know, because we have a limited perspective. I'm trying to help you get through the valley. The valley is only for a time. Don't pitch your tent in the valley. Don't say, this is where I'm going to live, and this is where I am, and it will never change. You may not even see it change, but God has a plan and purpose for it all. And so you can relax and you can say, yes, I still do what you do, still press into God, still pray, still do all the things we need to do. But there's no despair in this valley. My hope is in God. My trust is in God. My strength is in God. I realize this has come for a purpose and I'm going to come out the other side. So don't let the valley set your mood. Set your feelings. Set your mind you're on a pilgrimage and you're passing through the valley of Baca. Here's another point I put in your notes, and it fits with this. Getting hurt is unavoidable, but staying hurt is optional. Oh, man, that's so true. Oh, that's so true. You're going to get hurt in the valley. People are going to say things. You're not going to know why they said it. You're going to just think, this is a loss. I don't understand it. Why is this happening to me? You're going to get hurt. In this world, we're going to have tribulation. The Bible says, don't think it's strange when fiery trials come your way. It's not a strange thing. It's just going to happen. Getting hurt is unavoidable. But listen, folks, staying hurt is optional. Why in the world would you hold on to the hurt? Why would you carry the hurt from today into tomorrow? Why carry that garbage with you? Let the thing go. Let it go to the Lord. See, we don't let it go because we feel that person's got to be brought up and they have to acknowledge and the wrong's got to be made right. And I've been injured by this. Well, are you walking with God? Does he work all things together for good? Isn't it true that the things that people mean for evil towards you, God's going to turn it for good? I mean, isn't it true, and we celebrated today, that when Jesus died on the cross, every sin that was done against you, Jesus already bore the penalty for that sin. And he's forgiven. And now we will not forgive. And if we won't forgive, how do you think the Lord feels? He's already bore the pain of that. He's already died on the cross, taking that sin. But we will not let it go. We will not forgive. I mean, how foolish. And that's why the Bible says, you know, how can you believe that you'll be forgiven if you can't forgive others? Because if God took everybody's sin and you're believing he's taken your sin, why are you holding the other person's sin? I mean, don't carry the hurt forward. You're going to get hurt. But at least just be hurt the one time. And then turn it to the Lord. Set your mind on a pilgrimage. Speak all the truth that comes to your mind from God. And then move on with joy and happiness and contentment. And loving your enemies and doing good to those who spitefully use you. I mean, you just have a different attitude because you're not holding the hurt. Don't pitch your tent in the valley. Don't hoard every wrong and hurt that's come your way. Move out of it. One final verse in this is Hosea 2:15. Another valley's mentioned. I will give her vineyards from there, and the valley of Achor as a door of hope. She shall sing there as in the days of her youth, as in the days when she came up from the land of Egypt. Now this is another valley, the valley of Achor. Achor means trouble. So you're going to have trouble. You're going to have trouble. But isn't it interesting? There's a door of hope in the valley of trouble. And that hope is that God is in control. And he's working all things together for good. And you have a confident expectation that things are going to get better. That's hope. There's a door of hope. Don't miss the door of hope in the valley. There's a way out of the despair. There's a way out of the gloom. There's a way out of that feeling of heaviness you can break. In the valley of trouble, there's a door of hope. Our hope is in God. And when you turn to him and realize he's with you, God is with you, you're going to come through. Here's the next point. In the valley, clear out the spring. In the valley, clear out the spring. Here's the verses from Psalm 84. They make it a spring. The rain also covers it with pools. In this valley, you can make a spring. Now, think for a moment. You can't make the water. You can't make the spring. So what does this mean to make a spring? And I would say to you, it means to clear out the debris. And I put it in your notes. You can't produce the spring. Your part is to clear the debris. Clear out the brush. Clear out the rubble. The sediment, the dirt that's settled into that spring. Clear it out. And as you do, the spring will come forth pure. But many times people go through the valley, but because of all the debris they're carrying and all the hurts they're carrying and everything around them, there's springs there. God wants to do something in the valley. He's trying to produce something in your life. He's trying to reveal himself to the valley, in the valley. He wants to refresh you in the valley. He wants you to say, I met God in the valley, but you can't because it's all covered with debris. Our job is to clear the debris, and I've already been speaking about it already this morning. You've got to get rid of those things in your life that's stopping up God's flow. You're letting Satan bring lots of thoughts and attitudes and thinking into your mind that's hindering you from being the person God wants you to be and to be able to drink from these waters of life. Many of you have heard the story of the Keeper of the Springs. It's a old story about this village in the Swiss Alps, and there was a spring up in the mountain, and the water flowed down into the village, but it kept getting stopped up, and so they hired a keeper of the springs, and for years and years, he kept the spring clear. He cleaned out all the debris, all the rush. He dug out the dirt around it so the water could flow out free down into the valley. The city grew, prospered, became a tourist attraction. Everything was so beautiful. But then the town council got looking at some of this, and they say, hey, what's this money we're paying the keeper of the springs? Who's this keeper of the springs? And so they decided it was a waste of money and it was past due, and they just said, we're not going to do that anymore. And everything was fine for a few years, or for a little while anyway, until suddenly the water didn't flow, and it didn't smell as good, and disease began to come, and they began to look, well, what's happening? They're saying, what's happening to our spring? And then they remember, well, who's the keeper of the spring? And they went back, and they rehired him, and as the story goes, it was restored. Now, that's a simple story, but you know what? You need to keep your spring. In fact, the Bible says, keep your heart without all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. You have to keep your heart with all diligence. There's a spring in every valley, and you need to make sure you're clear, your heart's pure, you're trusting God, you're looking to Him, you're not allowing Satan to fill your mind with rubbish and garbage and things that would be unloving and unkind, and you're not allowing bitterness to come out. Like the Bible says that a good spring doesn't bring forth bitter water. And a bitter spring does. You got to get the bitterness out of your heart. Listen, bitterness is so terrible. It's when you hold a hurt and you nurse it. And resentment turns to bitterness. And then bitterness turns to hatred. It crushes in on you and destroys you. But you need to keep your heart with all diligence. Let's go quickly to the next one. In the valley, go from positive to positive. In the valley, go from positive to positive. Here's the verses in Psalm 84. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God. Now, as we're on this journey to appear before God, and you've gone through the valley of Baca, it says they go from strength to strength. This is the attitude. You're going from strength to strength. You're not going from weakness to strength. You're going from strength to strength. This is when you see God in the picture all the time. And you realize, this is difficulty. Right now I'm going through, this is difficult. And I need strength. And then you handle that day and then something and it even gets stronger. And you say, I need more strength. And you go from strength to strength. You don't go from a sense of, I'm weak, weak, weak. Oh, God, help me. I need to be stronger. You go from strength to strength. Here's the verse in 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. We're being transformed from glory to glory. Not a bad state to a better state. No, from a glorious state to a more glorious state. Oh man, this is a positive attitude. And you need to maintain this positive attitude that you're going from strength to strength through the valley. You can handle. Yes, it's difficult. Yes, there's something that, but you know what? I'm casting this on the Lord. I'm with the Lord. He's my strength. I'm going to get through this. I'm coming out the other side. I'm clearing my heart of all the debris. God's going to meet me in the middle of this, and you just keep being positive. It is the most underrated attribute a Christian can have, is being positive. People say, well, I'm just being realistic. And then they tell you all the negative things. But the Bible doesn't say that. Philippians 4:8 says, whatever things are good, whatever is noble, whatever is pure, whatever is of good report, think on these things. If there's anything praiseworthy, think on these things. Keep your mind stayed. Go from strength to strength. Go from positive to positive. Don't allow any negative thought to come into your mind. Know that God is bigger. Satan is negative. He will add the negative. You need to go from positive to positive. This is a powerful attribute. You keep your mind set on the Lord. You're thinking on things above, not on things that's on the earth. And you have a positive, optimistic, confident outlook on life. I tell you, those kind of people you want to be around. Those are the people that can handle difficulties. Not because of just themselves, but because they had an attitude that there is something working beyond what I can see. Their confidence and strength is in the Lord. Psalm 23:4, you know this verse. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Notice it didn't say you're going through the valley of death. You're going through the valley of the shadow of death. Shadow. Can a shadow harm you? If you're on the side of the road and this big truck is coming down the road towards you, and as it passes, the shadow comes over you and the shadow of the truck engulfs you. Did it hurt you? The shadow can't hurt you. I want you to know the Lord has taken care of the truck, as it were. Listen, here's the point in your notes. A shadow has no substance, but it puts you in the dark. It can put you in the dark, and shadows are going to be around us. We're going to go through valleys. But you got to know the shadow doesn't hurt me. Even though I don't understand why this is happening, I don't know how I'm going to get through this. I can't tell you. I'm sort of in the dark. But you know what? It's only a shadow. Because here's the next point. Jesus destroyed the power of death. All that is left is its shadow. The Lord has destroyed death. He's taken the keys of death and of hell. All that's left is the shadow, folks. The shadow can't hurt you. It can put you in the dark. It can, but that I don't see things as clearly as before. But your confidence is in God. Your confidence is in the light. And it says it doesn't matter how threatening and menacing the shadow is. It can't hurt me. I can walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and I fear no evil because God is with me. His rod and his staff, they comfort me. We need to realize that the gloom, the despondency, the sadness, all the sorrow is just a lie. Satan wants to cast the shadow upon you. But just cast it off. Say, I'm a child of the light. I live in the light. I live by God's word. I live by the promises of God. And all the trust is put over to the Lord. So, just believe that God is working it all together. Now, here's the final, or one of the final notes in your for you. It says, a feeling is just a feeling. It cannot control you unless you let it. Listen, feelings are shadows. Feelings do not have substance. They can't control you unless you let them. Feelings are going to come. Feelings come as a result of how we think and the perception we have of things. If you have a limited perspective, you're going to have a very negative feeling. But if you can see that God is in control and God is with me, you suddenly have a bigger perspective and feelings can change. How many times you've thought about something, thought the worst about something, and you're really feeling bad, then you get a phone call and you realize, oh, that wasn't right. And as soon as you got the truth, the feeling left. Like the feeling, we really can't wrestle with feelings. Because feelings are just there. You just have to realize a feeling is a feeling. It's a shadow. It doesn't have any substance to it. So I'm not going to walk by feelings. I'm going to walk by sight. The Bible says we don't walk by sight, or the other way around. The Bible says we don't walk by sight, we walk by faith. So I'm not going to walk by what I think I see and then the feeling that comes over me. I'm not going to walk by that. I'm going to walk by faith. I'm going to walk by God's truth. I'm going to walk by his promises. Folks, this is so powerful to you. If you can lay hold of it, you're going to get through the valley of Baca. You're going to get through the valley. You're going to come out the other side. Your feelings are not going to pull you down. Your feelings are going to be up and down. Just realize they're a feeling. Yeah, I can't really change this feeling too much unless I let the light shine on this shadow of a feeling and bring truth to it. Then it changes my feeling and I can be what God wants me to be. Final point in your notes. Our real problem is being separated from God. But Christmas celebrates that God is with us. Amen. Amen. The real problem is separation from God. Not in opening your heart. Not inviting him into your life. Holding your own sin rather than confessing your sin and giving it to the Lord. It's holding your life and being in control in my own strength. But yield it to God. Yield it to God and say, Lord, my life is yours. He, I yield myself to you. It's separation from God is our problem. But once you come into relationship with God, now all the promises of God, and he's with us. He's with us. He's never going to leave you alone. He's with you. Even when you don't know he's with you, he's with you. And so you remind yourself in the shadows. You remind yourself in the valley that God is in control and he's with us. It comes right back to the first verse that we read. Behold, the virgin is with the child and will bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Shall we stand together this morning? Oh, Lord, help us to absorb this today. I want to help you through the valley. I want to help you through the valley of life. You got to remind yourself. Lay hold of these truths. Digest them. Let them be part of the fabric of your being. God is with you. You're not alone, no matter what you're facing. Even death, it doesn't matter. You're walking with God. I believe him for his promises. But God is bigger than anything I'm going through. Let me pray for us today. If you want to just get in on this prayer, just lift your hand to the Lord. Father, we just reach out to you. We reach out to you to receive this word today. This word that encourages us and strengthens us and brings light into the valleys that we go through. Lord, I ask that not one person here will get stuck in the valley. Lord, that they would be able to move and keep moving, moving forward with you, that they'd go through every valley of life, in and out the other side, on their journey to come into your presence and to fulfill your will. I pray it for myself, for my family, for this church, for everyone here today, Lord. We open our hearts to you. Be with us. We rejoice that you're with us.